If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode is brought to you by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough reinvention. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you reinvent. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at pwc.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hey, everybody. What's going on? Rob Sesternino back here to talk about Special Forces, World's Toughest Test, the show that puts the special in Special Forces. And once again, I am back here with my co-host, who, if she's leaving, I'm out of here too, okay? Jenny Autumn. Jenny, how are you, dude?
First of all, do not dude me. Don't bro me. Don't dude me. Don't man me. I am ready to get rucked up, Rob.
Oh, my God. Okay, so... Boy, hope that this podcast is not a big fat fail, as we saw what the recruits were up to this week. Hopefully we won't repel our audience here with our coverage of the latest episode. Episode number 5 of Special Forces, World's Toughest Test. We'll talk about all that. Maybe Danny Amendola might be quitting, but I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think they just did a nice, clever edit of the preview.
Yep.
You know, yep. There's like, ooh, maybe he's not
maybe,
there.
He's maybe, there. Because back in the day, these celebrities used to drop like flies. But, you know, now here we are, day number 5. And now it's not so easy to get these recruits to walk off.
I think we've reached the point where we've truly like weeded out the weak. Mm-hmm. Whether it be, well, as we hear many times throughout the show, it's physical, it's mental, it's emotional. And I spend every episode asking myself, what of these am I the weakest? Like, what would be my weak? Like, they're all weak points, mm-hmm. Truly.
The big three.
So these things have been, reasons that all of these other celebrities have fallen. And I think that it's like the first couple days are the true test. And at this point, it's like, if you've gotten through these first however many tasks, you're probably going to make it through. And I think, because what is it, 10 days? I think like once you hit day 5, you're like, okay, I'm halfway there. I'm over the hump. I might as well just finish
it. The show
it, right?
Does air on Wednesday, which is hump day.
It is. Yeah, it's truly hump day. Mm-hmm. So I think that I don't think anyone else will quit unless they are medically required yeah. to. That is
oh,
my
I think Scaramucci is looking for a way out. I felt like that when Danny Amendola was thinking about like walking off. He's like, oh, if you're leaving, I'm leaving too. Yeah, I'm, you know, like, that's
his
principle.
He's been waiting like, for one of his bros
yeah, he's,
to want to quit. He's like that, I'm a team player.
He is ready to purple Kelly to Danny Amendola's Nyanka on this thing.
Precisely.
Like, I don't want to leave by myself, but if somebody else is leaving,
I'm out.
Count me in. I'm a come with guy. Yeah.
Yeah. I could be convinced. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that maybe Mooch is just really excited to quit something mm-hmm. instead of like be fired. So.
Yes. Yes. He's trying to mooch onto Amendola's walk off from the special forces. So we'll talk about all that and much more. Jenny, how are you?
I'm doing well. You know, it's 2023.
Yeah.
I'm like, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Like, we've been here the entire time. I still see people and they are still wishing me Happy New Year
yeah.
on January 24th. Do you feel like, you know, you have to continue saying Happy New Year to people when it's the first time you've talked to them in the new year?
I don't like I would be like Billy Billingham if somebody wished me Happy New Year, like, you Muppet. It's the last week of January. Do not Happy New Year me.
I agree because I barely feel like it's
catastrophic fail.
You should actually, that should be your response to when people like wish you a happy holidays or like Happy New Year. It's like, you Muppet, I didn't ask for a greeting. Because I don't feel it's necessary.
Yeah.
And these men don't think a lot of the things that these people say are also unnecessary. So I don't know if like they're like can't take. Grouchiness is like wearing on me mm-hmm. and I'm starting to become like a grouchy old man apparently. But like I'm having these same things where I'm like, do we have to do this?
Yeah,
we have to do this interaction.
We don't have to do it. Okay. All right. So
but I'm great. I'm doing well. So I, you know, it's always a joy to do this. This is my one little thing a week where mm-hmm. I get to, you know, watch a silly show. I guess it's not silly. It's kind of serious, to be honest.
Pretty
but
serious show. Yeah.
We get to do our best with it and try to have a good time. So mm-hmm. I always look forward to this.
Okay. Well, this week's episode, I feel like that most of the drama from the episode came from the towards the end of the episode. So I think I'd rather start there and then we'll backtrack to the stuff that went on at the start of the episode, because I don't think that necessarily there's too much connective tissue between the repelling task and then what they did on the drive through the enemy battlefield test.
Yeah, this episode was truly like whatever stretch Kenya was trying to teach them to do, where it was like the butt is completely like, you know, extended out. It's back heavy. So it's like the first half, there's not a lot going on, but the butt is sticking out at the back. And that's where the action
is. And like us, we'll be like twerking our way through.
Yeah. But I spent the whole first half trying to piece together, like, because we knew that this episode was going to center around Danny Amendola based on the previews from last week. And so I was like, what is it about this repelling task that's going to set up like Danny's meltdown? But truly, I think it had nothing to do with the second half.
Other than they put him in charge, he was doing really good. And you know, that what we've seen here on the Special Forces, what staff likes to do, whoever's sort of like the front runner, whoever's doing the best, we're going to break you.
Yeah, they don't want you to, like, not too much success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, and they'll pick on you.
They have to make it, hard for somebody. So you know what I mean? It's like, okay, well, you're doing a little too well with this, so I am going to punish you for doing well. It's an interesting strategy.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a real tax on a wealth tax per se on whoever has the most. It's like it's gonna hurt.
Yeah, it's like you get called into the principal's office like when you're doing bad, but also when you're doing well, and it's like,
yeah,
I don't know, is it the kind of thing where you should just be in the middle of the pack? Like, we have seen nothing of Carly Lloyd still. We're on
Purple Carly.
Exactly, yeah. Rob. Mm-hmm. I think she got more lines this week. And when I say more lines, as if this is a scripted show. Mm-hmm. I don't believe this is scripted.
I don't think it's scripted. Yeah.
I don't think this is scripted.
Even though there were special effects this week. Yeah.
That's true. But yeah, I just feel like, you know, they're trying to make something of the big characters, and it's like whether you're doing poorly or you're doing well, and they are trying to, you know, poke at you so that you'll have a reaction.
Special Forces is a little bit like a Super Mario Party, if you ever play it. You know, you have so many stars, you have so many coins, it's like, here comes the cloud guy. And no, you don't. We're picking on you.
If this was Mario Party and we're playing with Rudy and Remy and Foxy and mm-hmm. Billy,
good they job will on the core steal, four.
They will steal
the Marine
stars
Corps four.
From the Marine Corps four. They will steal. That's a good one. They will steal stars from the person with the most stars, but they will also steal stars from the person with the least stars.
So or right.
Like, yeah. If they have no stars, they'll just steal your coins and they'll be like, that's what you get for not having stars. Like, they will kick you when you're down, but they will also kick you when you're up. Like, they will just kick you. So that's, I think, the
right
vibe
in the middle.
Of the
right,
Mario
right
Party.
In the Hannah Brown zone is really
exactly.
where we want to be. Right.
Zone exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Danny Amendola, that he was made the leader earlier in the episode. And so that he's going to kick off the basically this escape. This is a task all about protecting an asset. Okay. Jenny, sometimes in the Special Forces, you will have a mission where your life is secondary.
I am constantly feeling like my life is secondary. This is like tertiary, perhaps mm-hmm. even. So like my cat is above me. Mm-hmm. Phil is probably above me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but when they said asset, like, I didn't realize that they were referring to people at first.
Yeah.
It's such a weird way to refer to humans.
An asset.
But I I'm learning so much from this journey with you, Rob, and through this show. So I guess asset is a military term.
I like a VIP, I think.
A VIP.
Yeah, I think an asset's a VIP.
A VIP. Okay.
Yeah. It's like somebody that's like important.
So like when they Very gave important. The scenario, and we can explain the scenario, but like the scenario where like they go to the embassy and they get the nationals out. Those are the VIPs.
Yeah,
the
maybe it's like an ambassador or something.
So what about like a civilian? Like
no, civilian is not an asset.
Not an asset.
Yeah, that's collateral damage. You can run them over, I think, if you want.
Oh, you can.
It's just a civilian. They're not an asset.
It's just a civilian.
They're not assets.
They don't have a gun. They're they're not shooting at you, but they are in the way of your exit.
They're like nothing. they're not assets.
Rob, I think these men are rubbing off on you as well. You are becoming very cold.
Sorry.
Run the civilians down.
I'm just saying they're not assets. You don't have to, they don't have to be like, you know.
They don't have to be protected.
Yeah. Yeah. So you don't have to worry about that.
This is dark.
So I said Danny Amendola was actually going to get started. It's actually Scaramucci that's going to go first. And this is kind of like, I mean, I guess everything that we've done has been dangerous, but I felt like that this was dangerous for Billy Billingham as well.
Yeah, because he is trusting himself in the passenger seat with these lunatics driving. And the first person, because there is a disadvantage, I think, to going first in all of these.
Mm-hmm.
Because in most cases, you do get to watch what the other people are doing. So I think that you know, like with the rappel task, which we can get to, like you see the form of people that are doing well. I think that if you're Billy Billingham, you're getting into the car and your first person who has no idea, no one to learn from is Anthony Scaramucci. I think you are, you are deciding to play life on hard mode.
You're making a mistake. Like, right. I don't feel like the other contestants could see what was happening with the car race because then, like, once Amendola drives through the barrier, you would think everybody would do that. But it seemed like
And like they would talk, like the people that had gone were like the only ones that would like talk. So they must have been like quarantined in a different area, or maybe they had the black bags over their head, with the goggles.
Bag on their head.
Who knows?
We don't know.
But still, I just feel like, I don't know. Okay. I guess here's my question. Is it better to have Mooch go first, rip the Band-Aid off? The longer he waits, the more wound up he'll get, perhaps, the worse he will do. Is it the kind of thing where it's like, get him while he's hot, and before he gets too hot, perhaps, like physically warm? Is that the move? You do the Mooch first, and that's the safer way to
for Billy?
Experience him. Yeah.
To experience Billy or for Billy to experience this task?
No, for Billy to experience Mooch, I guess, driving.
I don't know. I don't know what Billy wants because he's like, drive, you Muppet, go, go, go. And then it's about, he's like, slow down, you're driving too fast. Like, which is it?
I think that he just likes to yell, and he's yelling when he's happy. He's yelling when you're doing things right. He's yelling when you're doing things wrong. And I think because we see him, you know, he's even when people are doing the right things, he's yelling as if they're not, because he wants them to like be confident in their choices. So he doesn't want to give the indication that they've done well until like it's over.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like, shouting 24/7 the entire time.
I will say the one difference is, okay, if this was real, okay, it's like, all right, I really need to get out of this city by hook or by crook. This is a fake TV show. Do they really want me to like blow through the set and like crash through? Like,
how many barriers did they have?
I don't know. Like, I kind of feel like that because they're like, you're not supposed to like drive through like the sandbags that are on the course. Like, part of the course is like avoid the obstacles. Like, there's this one obstacle that I'm supposed to like just blow through. Everything else is like, okay, go around the cones, like go through the course.
Yeah. And what, like, especially because in the scenario, the thing you're supposed to do to exit, to pass the border, is drive through this barrier where there is a man shooting at you. This is terrifying. If you didn't watch the show, right, like, this was literally like, it was a war simulation. It was terrifying. So you're literally supposed to drive at a human.
Yeah.
I just don't think, even though I know that it's a simulation and I'm supposed to do what you would do in the scenario, yeah, right, maybe try to run over the person shooting at you is a good move, I still think that it's got to be hard to like not have that little piece of you being like, this is still a show. What right, if I run over?
It's not virtual reality.
Extra. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
I'm not
like
in the metaverse.
I don't blame the people that were like, oh, I swerve and try and go the other way, I guess. I don't think that was a terrible choice, but
yeah, okay.
Again, so I'm built to fail this.
Yeah,
so.
Scaramucci, that he's driving, and he's doing okay at first, but then when armed men are coming into the vehicle, Scaramucci looks like he tries to execute like a 3-point turn, and Billy is just beside himself.
Yeah, this is what you do in a very intense situation where there are cars shooting at you, humans shooting at you. You pull a jaunty reverse.
Yeah, let me turn this thing around. Okay,
do your shoulder check first to make
right,
sure.
This is like the worst driver's ed class ever. No.
Can you imagine if that was what it was like to teach you? Like, are these the conditions you want to learn to drive, Hunter? Probably not. But I guess it would really teach you how to perform under stress. So I suppose it would like, it would prepare you for very, very stressful driving situations, but you would also be taught that the right thing to do is to drive through barriers. Mm-hmm. So maybe not the best driving.
Blow through it. Okay. All right.
But so, he seemed like he was, because I my understanding of the task is it was also supposed to be about communication, because Billy's like, you need to be telling me what you're doing, what you're seeing, what's around you. So it's like, they're supposed to be driving, but they're also supposed to be communicating like, okay, I'm going to take a left here. I'm going to do right. There's some guys over there. It did seem, I will give Mooch his flowers. He is a communications guy. I did feel like he was kind of calm. And okay. He was explaining what was going on. He did that part okay. I was kind of surprised. I thought he would be a lot more frantic. He seemed to be communicating well. He just decided that he was going to back up into an enemy vehicle.
Not ideal. All right, so Danny Amendola goes. Danny Amendola is getting yelled at for slow down. But he basically, like, executes the task. He drives through the barrier. But Billy is just screaming at him. He says to him, why are you looking at me like you're falling in love with me?
Because Danny was like in a pretty intense stare, because they stop. He's been yelling, stop. And they stop. And Danny's just kind of looking at him like, what? Mm-hmm. And he's like, don't look at me like you're in love with me. Why didn't you stop?
Yeah.
And Danny's like, I don't know, dude. Which mm-hmm. is the worst thing to say to Billy Billingham. Do not call this man dude.
Yeah, don't dude me. Don't look at him like you're falling in love with him. I feel like, I don't know, if somebody said that to me, like, stop looking at me like you're falling in love with me, I feel like that's very presumptive of you.
Yeah. I mean, they did, like,
don't put words in my mouth.
Lots of talk about his eyes. He's blue eyes, right? So he just maybe he gets that like feedback so often where it's like, oh my gosh, Billy Billingham, you are so distracting. Those piercing blue eyes while you're spitting in my face. It just gets me going. And this is a problem that he has in these special forces tests that he's a part of, where, you know, people are just falling, because what a charismatic man. How could you not fall in love with this man as he's verbally abusing you on the regular?
Right.
You know, what a dream.
Other special forces at play. Yeah. Okay. We see on the sidelines, Scaramucci and Danny Amendola, I guess they have a special bond also, because Scaramucci is like, I love you, man. And Amendola should be like, don't talk to me like you're in love with me.
Yeah, he's just learned love is a bad thing. Don't like... No dude, no bro, no love. Like, you should not be sharing any sort of tender moments with people. We got an I love you, man, from Mooch.
Okay.
So I think that this has been... Do you think that this is like the first time that Mooch has gotten like good bro bonding time? Because it seems like he's got like a good tight friendship with Mike Piazza. Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. What's his life about?
I don't know what his life is about, who his friends are or what. But
not Trump, apparently. So
I guess not. Yeah. All right. Hannah Brown, she's driving. Hannah Brown's just killing it. She's doing great.
I feel like the message that I should be taking away from this, because we're all here to learn a lesson, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this isn't the learning channel after all, but
no we MILFs are around.
No MILFs.
I don't know if anybody has children. Yeah, I shouldn't say.
Hot. Yeah. she's looking good. But I feel like
don't
Hannah
look
Brown,
at me like you L to F me.
You are not a military I'd like to F. I feel like the person that I have to relate to most here is Hannah Brown. Because I too am a former bachelorette. No. but I just feel like, you know, she is someone where it's like, okay, you're not a professional athlete. You're just a girl, and you don't like men yelling at you. deeply relatable. Mm-hmm. I would be gone first day because of that. She's true. So I think the lesson I'm taking away from this is like, maybe I should believe in myself a little bit more, because look at Hannah Brown. She's doing it. So maybe that could have been me.
She does well.
She does well. And she seems like she has such a great attitude. Like, she's always like supporting other people. She seems like, you know, she's like a good mediator. She's like never in the drama. She's always like an ear for people. So anyway, I didn't watch Hannah Brown's season of The Bachelorette, or Bachelor. I only know her from social media, but she's doing well on this.
Yeah.
She's the middle of the pack person that
Too hot, not too cold.
Yeah.
Perfect Goldilocks of special forces.
But it does look like she gets pulled into the scary interrogation room next week. So maybe she starts to do a little too good and they have to start picking on her.
All right. Knock her down a peg.
Watch out for that.
Okay. Then we get like a little bit of the montage. Kenya Moore got herself and Billy killed.
Yeah. Like, not only are you being yelled at and told like, catastrophic fail, you Muppet, you imbecile. Like, then he goes, you just got us killed. It's like, oh my God, the guilt weighing on me. Like, it's not like you just didn't do a good enough job. It's like,
we're
dead. I'm dead. You're dead. You just literally. And then all of these bad guys got away with it.
Yep. So your fault.
That's salt in the wound.
Yeah. Dwight Howard had a good episode. He's bounced back well. He passed.
I think he fell into the middle of the pack.
Yeah,
I think that he literally did what they asked of him. And they basically said, like, stop having fun. Stop speaking. Just do what you're supposed to do. And that's it. And that's kind of what he's doing.
Yep.
Yeah. Because he's been quiet. Like, he really hasn't said much, but he's been doing things well.
Yeah. Mike Piazza, this was not a great night for Big Mike because he also...
Is that his nickname?
I don't know if it's officially, but I feel like, you know, I've heard people say it.
Was he ever called the Piazza Man?
No, I don't think Mike Piazza really has a nickname. Sorry to say.
Did we made one for him?
Let's see.
Mikey Piazza P.
Nickname. I don't think he really has one. Let's see.
He seems like the kind of guy that makes nicknames for other people.
Apparently his nickname was Supreme. I don't know what that's about.
Like from the Supremes, the group.
I don't know. I've never heard Mike Piazza ever referred to as Supreme.
Yeah.
Don't tell.
I mean, and if anyone would know if he was referred to as that, I feel like you're, you know, top of the list of people I know.
Yeah.
So if you don't know that this is a thing,
somebody
called
him the monster once. But yeah, he didn't.
Is this the monster that everyone was running from in Survivor? This is the monster you have to be. It's Mike Piazza.
Mike Piazza. Yeah. I just think that he had a cool name. Mike Piazza. I don't think he needed a nickname.
I feel like Mike Piazza would be friends with Jeff Probst. How do you feel about that?
I could see that. I feel like
they would like each other.
Mike Piazza famously also likes rock music also.
Yeah.
People that serve in the military. I think they have a lot in common.
See them bro-ing down at a rock concert.
Maybe. So then Mike Piazza got them killed. And then Gus also did a bad job. Gus like tried to pull into the alley and he got the absolutely catastrophic fail.
That's how you know you've messed up. When you get the catastrophic fail. Mm-hmm. It's like Billy Billingham is kind of like one of those like dolls that has like the string in the back with like the sayings and he's got like a few canned things, but it's like he's programmed well. Like he remembers what insult he used for like each person because he brings it up again later. Like they go through the line of them at the end and like reaffirm like who passed and failed, and like he remembered that he told Gus that he was a catastrophic fail.
That's
because
just regular.
He says it again. And he also called him a clown, which is an insult he hurled at him a couple episodes ago when he was doing his little somersault into the water. Like, he remembers how he insulted these people.
He doesn't forget.
He's like, yeah, he's the one making nicknames, and, yeah, and Gus's nickname is a clown, apparently.
He's like a Flavor Flav of insults that he just basically like hands them out and then just remembers, and then you wear that the rest of the season.
Yeah. I mean, he remembers their numbers. That's half the battle. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, maybe that's how he remembers people, because he's not supposed to know he doesn't learn their names. He's like making names for them, and it's like Muppet, mm-hmm, clown.
Yep. And they don't know what they're famous for, because they have to look it up on the computer.
A TikTok, apparently. That's, yeah, all TikTok is. They're, all they do is TikTok and Instagram followers.
And their filters. Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, once Billy gives you an insult, it's yours forever.
Yeah. That is, you wear it like a crown, like a badge, like an armband.
Like an armband until you take, yeah, it off at the end of the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Jenny, let's talk about where the real drama starts to happen here in this episode, where we saw where, you know, everyone's getting into the car, and, you know, Danny Amendola, he's getting in the car, and I guess not getting in the car fast enough. And so Billy comes over and basically just starts getting yelled at. You had one responsibility, get in the vehicle. You didn't do it. You're letting us down.
Well, so Danny was the crew leader or whatever they call it for the day. So this is their way of testing his responsibility. And so Danny was responsible for making sure everyone got into the car.
Yeah.
And everyone was in the car when it seemed like Billy was yelling. I was kind of confused about what the issue, yeah, was.
Well, I think it was actually, so I wrote in my notes, Amendola mans Billy. So he's like, yeah, we got it, man. As if, don't man me.
Yeah.
He already got, don't bro me if you don't know me. Don't dude me. Don't, yeah, look at me like you are in love with me. And then on top of that, he mans him. And
no terms of endearment, whether platonic or romantic. To be fair, they did warn us at the beginning, warn us and warn them, you will refer to us as staff only.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've noticed, for whatever reason, Mooch really likes calling them sir. Like when he was driving the car, he's like, yes, sir. So he's a sir guy. So Billy doesn't mind the sir, but he doesn't love the casual nature of man, bro, or dude.
Mm-hmm.
That sets a fire in him. So you're saying that it wasn't so much that Danny wasn't getting in the car fast enough. It was like he was already just going to, like, you know, bug him about that But what really boiled him was the, yeah, I got him, man.
Because all the dudes and mans talking back to Billy, like, look, they're looking for anything. And so he's going to cling on to that. And Danny Amendola has had it. I mean, Danny Amendola, you know, played in the NFL, played for, you know, Bill Belichick, who notoriously not like a touchy-feely kind of coach. Not anybody's like friend on the team, but he's had it and he's ready to walk off. He's ready to quit.
So and this is what he's so he Billy like shuts the door. And first of all, it seemed like Danny was kind of like using his arm to like kind of keep. There was a, like Danny almost kind of got in his face at one point. I was like, oh, my God, Danny, like. Kind of hot that Danny's getting in the face. This is so toxic of me. But like, I was kind of
you like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because these men are terrifying, like deeply, deeply terrifying to me. So to see Danny kind of just be like, I'm going to get in your face. I was like, oh my goodness.
Okay.
So it kind of made me feel like, okay, if these men were yelling at me and like disrespecting me, Danny Amendola would take care of it.
You were kind of like hot. Scaramucci in this scenario.
I would be piecing out with Danny Amendola 100%. I'd be like, you go, I go.
Yeah. And Scaramucci says, well, I can't let him leave by himself.
Yeah, it's like, what does he need? He needs like like some sort of chauffeur or like a chaperone to leave. He's like, he can't go on his own.
Yeah, like he's a come with guy. He's kind of just like nobody should have to quit special forces by themselves.
Yeah, except for all the other people,
every other person that's
literally every other person forces. That left.
Yeah.
So Danny was like yelling like respect like through the car door. So clearly Danny felt disrespected, which I'm like, this is the first time you felt disrespected. So, these people have been berating you all for days.
I think for Danny Amendola, like, I think he feels like this is supposed to be like a meritocracy of that. Hey, I've done all of the tasks. I have not had a catastrophic fail on every single thing. If I'm doing all of the things, why are you yelling at me? Why are you on my case? I've done everything you've asked and I'm probably doing better than anybody else. Why are you picking on me?
Which is a logical way of looking at it and probably something that he's been conditioned to a lot with sports where I don't think, well, I mean, I don't know the ins and outs of what Bill Belichick, how he would motivate his guys. But like, I have to think that he's not spending his breath on the guys that are performing well.
Right. So like on the Patriots, like Bill Belichick wasn't like, Brady, you failed.
Yeah.
Like, typically like the stars of the team get treated the best.
Yeah. He's petting his head and saying, I love you, my son. You throw a good ball. That's what I picture the conversation as, at least. So I think that he, like all of Danny's life, he's been conditioned to be like, hey, you keep your head down, you work hard, you do a good job, and no one will bother you. And you will see reward for that. And so he's now learning that this experiment is everyone gets a shit kicking. You know what I mean? Like, and I mean, we see Mike Piazza figures it out. He lays it out eventually. Mm-hmm. But I at this point, Danny is not understanding that like there's a reason they're doing this to him, especially.
Yeah. Okay. So you referenced we have like a group therapy meeting. Okay. Mm-hmm. All of the recruits get together and they're going to talk it through about what's going on. And Scaramucci is telling everybody, okay, I'm going to leave too. If he leaves. So Danny Amendola is talking about like, is this fair? What's going on here? And he wants to know, Hannah Brown, do you think this is fair? And then we get like a lot of crosstalk going on where,
I believe what happened was because in the car where this took place, because they were in separate cars. So in the car that Danny was in, it was Danny, Carly. And I understand why you thought it was Hannah, because you believe that Carly's the person on this show. I understand. And then Mooch in the backseat. And so Carly was there like as a witness to the altercation between Danny and Billy. Mm-hmm. And so I guess he was saying like, Carly, didn't you think that he crossed the line there? And then everyone starts talking over each other, and Gus especially gets really mad at Mike Piazza. Because it was like a lot of like, let this person speak, you're talking over them. And then it's like, I felt like Gus kind of like took over and like used it as an opportunity to like let out his frustrations about Mike. He's like, I'm not even mad about these people yelling right now. Like, I'm tired of you talking over people. Like, I think the stress of the situation and like everyone's quirks are clearly like starting to wear on each other.
I do feel like that Mike Piazza has a little bit of a like a Stockholm syndrome for the staff of like, I feel like he has kind of like and look, I love Mike Piazza, one of the greatest Mets of all time, maybe the greatest Met hitter ever. But I feel like he's a little bit of like a brown noser with the staff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's definitely like he's a yes, sir kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And, he's definitely like acting as like the conduit of like their message. Mm-hmm. Like, he's trying. And I think that's what's getting to him is like, he wants to be like the best. He wants to be the star child. And when he doesn't do well, that upsets him.
There was a lot of like bleeping going on. I couldn't really understand, but what Mike Piazza was trying to say, like, that they're just trying to prove to us that we're pieces of and so that's what was they're doing, and they're trying to prove to us that we're
so he says The reason that this is happening is Danny is the best leader, and they're trying to beep with him, and they're trying to break him down because he's good. Because it's like, this is the only way that they can test him. So it's not about them. They're pieces of bleep, and they need to break themselves down, I guess, like poop.
This is a show where there's a lot of censoring, and we don't really understand what people are saying.
No, there's a few points in these where I don't really know what the word was. Mm-hmm. I do think I know what was being bleeped there, but I was trying to understand the metaphor. And he says they need to break themselves down and see if they're material
for the special forces. Yeah.
For the special forces, or like just any sort of material. What
if they're anything like that?
Yeah. Okay.
So then one of the other staff comes in. This is the guy that like gets the least airtime. Do you know which guy this is? He has like a nice ascot.
Oh.
The guy that comes in.
Rudy?
Rudy. Yeah.
This was Rudy. Yes.
Yeah. And he comes in, he kind of like explains like about what it's like to be in the special forces. And he goes through and he explains like what a jarhead is.
Yeah. Cause they take your brain out. And then I kind of forget like how he explained it, but jarhead is like a term.
Mm-hmm.
It is a military term, but he was defining it as like, that's why they call you a jarhead. Like, you take your brain out and we put a thing in it, and then we screw it back on. And he basically just said, like, you have to just be robots.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which I get it. Like, I do get it now. I understand what they're doing.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy it. I think that it could be very damaging. However, I do understand what they are doing here. So I don't know if he was like catching that like it was really starting to get to people, and so was that what's supposed to be like an intervention of sorts from like Rudy, where he's trying to be like, listen guys, like we're not being mean just to be mean.
Well, I think at some point, I think they have to realize, like, boy, if everybody quits, we don't have a show anymore. So I wonder if he's sort of like, all right, let's just look, you know what this they call us jarheads. That's just what happens. Like, don't take it so personally.
Yeah. Stop being a snowflake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sure that they just cut that part. Yeah.
So Danny Amendola is going to go talk to Billy. Okay. And he goes in with Billy and Danny Amendola is not really going to back down. Okay. They're going to talk this through. And again, this is like, again, there's a lot of the, and I couldn't exactly figure out what they were doing, except I think that Danny Amendola was kind of being called that he was like a B word.
Yes, I think that was one of the things that Billy said, that you're acting like a B word.
Yeah.
Yes, just like that. Yeah, and they're like they're very close. Like they're sitting on opposite ends of a table.
Mm-hmm.
But like again, like their faces were very close, and maybe this is why Billy constantly thinks that like people are hitting on them, because they did look like maybe they could kiss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's why he has to like really like level set. Like, don't look at me like you're in love with me.
Like, do you think Billy has like strong pheromones or something? Like, there's just something powerful about him that like cuts through the fact that he's like verbally abusive.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jenny, they say that the opposite of love isn't hate. It's indifference.
Yes. And I guess that's how this works is mm-hmm. like, you certainly don't feel indifferent about any of these people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you're feeling the intensity of the emotions when they are not, yeah, and this is kind of the Stockholm syndrome of it all, where it's like when you're not being berated and being told that you're a catastrophic fail and a Muppet and a clown, and you get that one little shred of praise where they say, good effort, well done. You're just like, oh my God, mm-hmm. euphoric, you know?
Thank you. Thank you, staff.
Thank you, Papa.
Papa. Yeah.
What do you think they would do if, like, okay, so he doesn't mind Sir.
I mean, we did have a moment where in the beginning of the episode where Danny Amendola was talking to Gus about, like, that, you know, is Gus going to adopt children? Mm-hmm. And, you know, Danny Amendola says that, you know, I think he'll be a good dad. And Gus says to Danny Amendola, I'll call you daddy.
Yeah, because he says, you'll be a good dad too. And Danny's like, thanks. And he's like, I'll call you daddy. I was like, this escalated. Mm-hmm. This is not about parenting anymore, I think.
Yeah. Wow.
So daddy, Danny, I mean, his name is only two letters. You just replace those N's with D's and you've got daddy Amendola.
Daddy Amendola.
Or I guess if you're replacing the other N's, then he's daddy Amendola.
Yeah. Don't man anybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Don't man them or you'll get mad.
Yes.
Changing the N to the D. Yeah.
You have such a way with the letters.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a wizard of words.
Yes.
Or something.
So generally, ultimately this episode sort of ends on a cliffhanger of is Danny mm-hmm. Amendola leaving? And what percent chance is it that Danny Amendola is leaving?
Nine.
Okay. So,
which you, I say 16. I think that's his number.
16. So that we saw a preview at the end of the episode. In the preview, we never saw Danny Amendola, correct?
I was looking for him. I will say that there were like a couple group shots where like I could have paused to do like inspection of whether he truly was there or not.
That would be a spoiler if you did that.
But Rob, okay, maybe I should not. Maybe I should have higher standards for Fox. But how many times has CBS spoiled things for Survivor based on like previews? So I don't believe that Next Time On is immune from accidentally spoiling something.
The reason why I don't think he is gone based off the preview is that I did see Scaramucci there, and Scaramucci would have weaseled his way out.
That's a good point.
So that Scaramucci was not featured prominently, but I did see him in like the barracks.
That is a very good point, because when Danny gets called in to talk to Billy at the end, Scaramucci's like, Michael, you can't let him leave by himself.
Never once heard Mike Piazza refer to as Michael ever.
Michael, I don't know. Things are getting really intense.
Supreme more than Michael.
Or Piazza Man. Or what was the other one? Big Mike.
Big Mike. Yeah. Piazza Man delivers. I feel like I've heard that more than.
Yeah, I feel like that's the thing. But Mike, that's what made me wonder, because it was like, was Mooch suggesting that Mike go with him and then Mike also leaves with Danny if Danny's leaving? I didn't really understand what his rationale was there. He's like, you can't let him leave by himself. And it's like, well, then why are you following him? You're the one that wants to leave with him.
Mm-hmm. I think Scaramucci wants to organize like a mass exodus.
He wants to so it's like the whole
if we
team
all
quit.
Leave, we all win, yeah. United.
He's a team player. He has told us this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how you know. That is the sign of a team player, is repeatedly asserting that you are a team player.
Mm-hmm. And getting everybody to quit all at the same time. Yeah.
Yes. Ideal. That is the
Scaramucci way, for sure.
Yeah.
So we'll find out next week, ultimately, if Danny Amendola is leaving. But I just think they needed a cliffhanger for this episode.
Yeah, I think that they're like, no one else is going to quit. How do we end this episode with a story? And I feel like tension was mounting. So it's like, if you were going to do a cliffhanger, this is like your opportunity. So it makes sense. But I fully expect Danny to be there in the next episode. And I think that like he was starting to get it, because they showed when Mike was explaining like the reason they're going after Danny is because he's the best and they're trying to break him down. Danny was eating food. They seem to eat like slop. It literally looks like gruel. So and Danny had like this look on his face where it seemed like he was kind of starting to put it together and was like, yeah, I am the best. Mm-hmm. And they think
they don't
the best.
They appreciate me.
They're just, but no, I think he was kind of starting to be like, oh, this is them trying to push me because they know that I can do even better. So I don't know, maybe he was just hangry and like he was finally getting his food. And so like he was having like his come to God moment there.
Mike Piazza didn't have like 1 ounce of glycogen in his body.
Not 1 ounce.
Mm-hmm. No glycogen.
Yeah, that was not a glycogen to be found. Mm-hmm. They were also discussing earlier in the episode how they came back from the first task and like they're like, wouldn't it be amazing if we just went in there and they had ice cold Coca-Cola?
Mm-hmm.
And then Gus said that if he got taken eliminated before it's over, which I thought was weird because it's like, isn't there no elimination unless you get like medically evacuated?
Mm-hmm.
But Gus was basically saying, he's like, I'm going to find where this is on Google Maps and Postmates you a pizza.
Yeah. I mean, imagine
like,
that.
I don't know if he's going to find this place.
Yeah. Gus really doing a solid. Would that be contraband, a pizza from Postmates?
I have to think so, but Mel B got away with them ciggies. So I don't know. Do you think they can sneak a pizza past Billy and the gang?
I mean, it would be amazing if they could.
Again, that it's not one clear of the where they are. Like, because they're in that room sometimes talking-ish about them with their pictures on the walls. So they are there sometimes when they're in, like, their barracks.
Yeah.
But I have to assume that they go to a hotel or something.
I feel like they don't really seem concerned that the room is bugged. I think that that would be something that I would be like, don't say that, they're listening.
Yeah. That's not a top concern. Mm-hmm.
But that. Apparently, like, I guess what they say in the barracks stays in the barracks.
I guess so. I don't know. That's
special forces code.
Yeah. It's like, that's the one place where you can tell your truth.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office.
More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Let's talk about the first task that we saw them do in this episode, where we saw that they have to go to the day five task. Both of these tasks today took place on day five, which I think, I guess the second one wasn't like strenuous, but it must have been a long day for the special forces.
I feel like the first task was like physically strenuous mostly. And then the second test was like mentally strenuous, mm-hmm. where it was like taxing on your like psyche. So at least they like changed it up. Like you went from having to physically like run up a million stairs and then like, you know, rappel down a really tall building to just driving a car under stressful circumstances. Because imagine like having to do two very physical tasks on the same day. Like that would be impossible.
Jenny, I struggle when I have to do two podcasts in one day.
Yeah.
It's like, oh boy, this is a hard day. Like, put the extra coffee on. I got two podcasts. Got to watch two things.
I will find any reason to get myself a little treat if I'm just doing anything the slightest bit harder than like the day before.
What's your treat?
Okay, well, Rob, if I have to go into the office,
yeah,
so it's not a work from home day. If I have to go in the office, I am legally required by the government to get Starbucks.
Okay.
It's just a rule.
It's a rule.
I'm actually not allowed to enter the building I work in unless I am holding
mm-hmm.
a Starbucks coffee.
It's like your ID
and
badge.
Some little egg bites in my bag. It's the only way I can enter. It's actually kind of like my key card. Mm-hmm. Is like I have to swipe the little egg bites. That is how
if you walk
I get
in
myself.
Without it, they're like, fail!
Yeah, for me, a catastrophic fail. You think you can come in here without
Muppet!
A coffee?
What is this, Tim Hortons?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, don't even try to come in there with a double-double from Timmy Ho's. Like, you're not getting past the door. That is how I get through life, is by rewarding myself for the bare minimum. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly why my snowflake ass would not last a second mm-hmm. on Special Forces.
You podcast and Snowflake Mountain.
Yeah, that show was probably made for me. No, I'm not that bad. I'm not bad. But I do deserve a treat for going to work.
We all do.
So I get it, Rob. Like, mm-hmm. you know, life is hard, okay? Just existing is taxing enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that this is completely reasonable.
Okay. So, all right, we're going to do a tactical rappel. And if that's not hard enough, Remy is going to be chasing you up the stairs.
Yeah. Yelling. Or actually, no, wait. You're supposed to chase Remy, but he is yelling at you the entire time.
Yeah.
Like, I actually almost wish that I was being chased without the yelling. The yelling is really a problem for me.
Right.
Because they're supposed, because he sets the pace. I guess mm-hmm. like Remy decides the pace based on what he thinks will push that person.
And Remy looks like an elite athlete. Like he looks like he can like just walk onto like an NFL field today and go play.
I don't think Remy has ever broken a sweat.
They put him out there. He's like the guinea pig of like, and just to show you, Remy will do exactly what, like, I'd love to see one of the other guys also like do this eight times.
Can you get a guy from like catering, behind the set, like to do it? Like, I want to see the everyman do mm-hmm. this task so that I can believe I can do it, you mm-hmm. know? And Remy is probably the most physically fit of the four, of the core four. So
the Marine Corps four, yeah.
The Marine Corps four, yeah. So
yeah,
terrifying. He's get on my heels.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to be chasing him, I guess. It's okay. Like a million steps.
So he ultimately, Danny Amendola goes first. He does a good job. He gets a pass. Second is Scaramucci. Scaramucci tells us before he goes up, help me, Jesus. He did not.
I don't think Jesus is looking out for him.
I don't think
today.
Jesus has a vested interest in special forces world toughest test.
It's not the top of his list, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. He has a little tumble and he kind of goes, he started off well. And then in the middle, he's spinning and yeah, it's not good.
It's not great. Yeah. This is a task. Kenya Moore does really well with these types of tasks.
Yeah, she's so mentally strong.
Still fall off a thing, no problem.
I think she just gets in there and she just laser focuses. Like, I want whatever she's having, you know what I mean? Because it's like, I can't imagine just being that stoic and unbothered.
Mm-hmm.
For the amount, listen, I'm not a Real Housewives person, but like for the amount of like that they make her sound like this big dramatic person, like she's very chill.
She's been no drama.
She's very measured. Yeah, she's just like, she's just there to get her job done and you know, and mm-hmm. do a good job. That's it.
Yeah.
But I do think like she knows her strengths because she was like, I'm worried about my body breaking down, but if it's about overcoming something, I can do that. And she's like, apparently quite terrified of heights. And she just keeps doing these things with heights and just being like, yeah. And whatever. They have no idea. Like they just think that she's like killer.
Mm-hmm. So she does it. Purple Carly. She gets a little bit of screen time here. She does not do a good job with this.
Did she almost vomit? Did you notice at the when she's at the top?
I couldn't tell. She does get branded absolute Muppet.
Yes, she got Muppet status. So mm-hmm. so Mooch got the big fat fail, and then
big fat
Carly
fail.
Was a Muppet,
absolute Muppet.
Yes, no doubt about it. yeah, but when she was up at the top before she started rappelling down, she was like coughing and spit, and like
yeah, what happened?
Billy was like, nice.
I was like, did she pass the COVID test?
I think that she was so winded and overwhelmed from like the run up the stairs that maybe like the nerves, she might have gotten a little nauseous. She's like, oh, I just got to get this. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. It seemed a little hurly.
Maybe she had too much gruel on the way over.
Yeah. I can't imagine that's the kind of, listen, I don't know anything about the nutritional content of the gruel they're eating, but it just,
maybe just sits in your stomach. Yeah.
It can't be good.
Okay. Dwight Howard, he's nailing it. He's got this down.
He was like
a corpse coming down. Like it was like
literally like flat as a board. Just mm-hmm. like it was wild.
Unbothered.
And they were like, it was quite the sight to see because he's so tall.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a ladder being like sent down.
Perfect. Okay. Gus, I thought Gus was going to have no problem with this. He says he got all mixed up.
Yeah. He also got called a clown. He said, mm-hmm. get control of that thing, you clown.
Mm-hmm.
You assume that the athletes are going to handle this, but like, I think that first little part is hard because it's like, that's the tilted part of the, because
mm-hmm.
it kind of looked like Space Needle-esque.
Yes. I think you have to jump far enough back off to like be able to like get around like the lip of the thing.
Yeah. Because you're starting, I don't know, you're like falling backwards. And I think it's so easy to like mm-hmm. go upside down.
Yeah.
That seemed to be what happened. He had a little tumble.
Okay. Hannah Brown aced it. Best one so far. She's doing great. Now, Mike Piazza, we spent a lot of time on Mike Piazza. I really thought that the issue for Mike Piazza is he started asking about like, what's the composition of the stairs? Are they metal?
Steel or concrete? Apparently they were both.
Yeah, I thought this was going to be a knees issue for Mike Piazza. Of course, who's a catcher? Catchers famously.
On their knees.
Yeah, lots of time like in squatting down, they have bad mm-hmm. knees. You know, Mike Piazza is slow, you know, even in his prime. And so, but it doesn't seem like that, like it was like his knees were the issue. It seemed like he was getting winded. Says like he feels like a sack of
I was confused about the stair thing though, because it was like, oh, is he gonna fall, or is it harder to run up steel or concrete stairs? I was very confused. I thought there was gonna be an injury because I was like,
no.
But it's just that he literally looked like he was going to be sick. Mm-hmm. But he was talking like, you know, it's easy to get soft.
Yeah.
The eye of the tiger still there.
Yeah. I mean, so Scaramucci is the oldest. Is Piazza the second oldest person in this cast that's out there?
I think at this point, how old is he? Is he
53, like 50, I think they said.
I think Kenya is like 51.
Mm.
So I think those three are the oldest at this point. Well, but
Kenya Moore's having no problem.
Well, what Gus said about Mooch when he was going down, he was like, he's like 60 and he's this short little thing. He like shouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, yeah, he kind of had his number. It's like, that is like, we're really burying the lead here when we are not taking a moment to acknowledge that we are down. We're halfway through the cast. We're down to 8 people. And one of those 8 people is Anthony Scaramucci.
Yeah.
How is this real? Like, how is this one of the 8 people?
It is wild. It seems like he's halfway home.
Oh, okay. Is this proof that he is, once again, the plant?
Hmm.
And it's like, in order to get the full gamut of him, like, he's actually like receiving special treatment.
You think so? Why?
And he's
why? Is he such a big name that people like, oh, if we lose Scaramucci?
I don't know. I don't want to take it away from him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry to insult
the mooch.
I don't mean that, but I am truly, you know, baffled by the fact that he is still there and he hasn't quit, despite looking for any opportunity, but only if somebody else is going.
Mm-hmm. So Mike Piazza, after he had the bad run in this challenge, he's going to end up, staff wants to talk to him. Everybody else is back in the camp talking about what snacks they're going to get. Imagine we had cold Coke. Somebody says, imagine we had Jell-O.
That wouldn't be the top of my list.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, maybe you just want something really cold. Like, maybe it's so hot that they're like, I want just something cold, but like with a slight fruity taste. Maybe you could put some vodka in it.
Well, maybe. in all of the days, like playing Survivor, I've heard every single like food craving ever. I don't think I ever heard one person ever say, I wish we had Jell-O.
Yeah, I'd love just cherry Jell-O jiggling. And I feel like that would be like the worst place to eat Jell-O.
Yeah, with all the sand.
Like Jordanian desert Jell-O. I gotta feel like it's sweaty. It's not looking
not holding
good.
Its that's shape. Not, I don't think so.
No, I don't think that's where I want to eat Jell-O.
So they bring Piazza in and basically like he just talks about how he talks about his dad. Mike Piazza famously had a close relationship with his dad. He's trying to do it for his dad, who served in the military. He doesn't feel like that he's doing enough for his country. I mean, I think Mike is being too hard on himself. Mike was very instrumental following 9/11, did a lot in the city of New York, hit one of the most famous home runs in New York baseball history in the first game back against the Atlanta Braves on the Friday night when they started playing baseball again in New York City, lifted a city on his back. Supreme Mike, you're doing fine.
But that that's what they get at in this. Also, these are not therapists, but we do get Remy being like, well, or was it Remy or I can't remember who it was, but someone was like, let's go back to your childhood. Where did this start? It's like, are you special forces guys or are you a licensed therapist, sir? Like, why are we acting like this is billable hours for you. But it seems like this is Mike's thing where he's like an overachiever. Mm-hmm. Like this guy's three. He's an Enneagram three for sure.
Oh. And his number was 3-1.
Three. Okay. Mm-hmm. 3-1. Mm-hmm. So do you think that he's either a three or a one, probably?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I could see him as a one because one are very much like rule followers. And he's really like going by the book here.
Yes.
So I think we've actually cracked this.
Why he wears that number. Makes sense.
If Chappelle is listening, let us know what you think.
Yeah. Also, Chappelle, what a great friend you are listening to our Special Forces
podcast.
Yeah,
if you're listening, yeah. Well, I know Kirsten is listening to it because she gave me some intel on the conversation about the difference between the ruck and the
what is it?
So she said rucksacks have a metal frame that makes the bag itself much heavier than a normal bag, and that a Bergen is lighter with no frame. So they are apparently different. And I think that in this episode, they actually said that when they're carrying the ruck, it was like, it was like a lot of pounds because they have to carry the ruck up the ruck weighs 30 pounds apparently. And they had to carry the ruck up 300 stairs to the top of the thing that they rappelled down. Mm-hmm. So they're not only are they having to chase Remy, who is like the fittest man on earth. They're also carrying a 30 pound rucksack. And I guess it's the metal frame that they have because they're always like they always stand up. Right. Like and they like tip over if you put them down. So I guess the ruck is the one with the frame and the Bergen has no frame. So it's lighter.
OK, good. So thank you, Kirsten.
Yes. Thank you for the intel on the rucksack versus Bergen
debate. Yeah.
Debate.
Yes. Okay.
So, right. like, what a great friend.
one of the best. All right.
Yes.
So, Jenny, we are 5 hours into Special Forces, World's Toughest Task.
Wow.
It seems like there's five more to go. If you were watching some of the NFC playoffs this weekend airing on the Fox television network, boy, I have to say there was heavy promotion for the Fox show that's coming up next. Farmer Needs a Wife.
It's we're ready to get hoeing.
Yeah. Okay.
Get on the farm, baby.
Farmer needs a wife, and people
he
are
needs
really.
A wife. He's got the crops. He needs a wife.
Coming March 8th to Fox, four farmers embark on the adventure of a lifetime to find their future spouse.
I feel like it's. Isn't March 8th International Women's Day?
Is it?
Really?
Okay.
This is how we're going to celebrate International Women's Day is with Farmer Needs a Wife.
Mm hmm. Apparently,
like their property. It's like, I've got it all. I've got this beautiful farm. I've got a tractor. Now I just need one thing.
So
a woman to call my property.
Can I tell you something? That Farmer Wants a Wife is a...
Wants a wife, not needs a wife?
Okay. Farmer Wants a Wife. Okay.
Okay.
Farmer Wants a Wife is a, I guess, highly popular, like, international format.
Yes, I did hear this.
There have been...
Like Dutch or something?
Oh,
or?
I mean, it was the UK. I mean, on the website... Australia, Austria, Belgium, Canada had two editions of it. Croatia,
what?
Estonia, Finland, France, Germany, Greece, Hungary.
Everyone is doing it.
Everybody.
For
Jenny, the CW actually already did it in 2008. Farmer Wants a Wife aired on the CW.
So this is like the Joe Millionaire like of this farmer dating genre where it existed, it was done, and we're redoing it again on Fox.
Interestingly enough, the series premiered on the CW network on April 30th, 2008 and was canceled on June 25th, 2008.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know. I guess we're going to reboot everything.
Well, we were saying this on the MILF Manor, recap, which, again, I'm still reeling from that, that it felt very like early 2000s reality show where you're like, how is this real? How is this on television? So I think that, yeah, we're bringing back the Y2K fashion. And so we have to be bringing back like the 2000s, 2010.
That 90s show era. Is on Netflix. Yes, so
exactly. So
it's a throwback time.
Yeah, we love a throwback. I love a throwback that I didn't even know was a throwback because I did not know Farmer Wants a Wife existed.
Okay. All right. Maybe the world wasn't ready for it in 2008, or at least the United States wasn't ready for it.
This is what we need in this time in 2023. We need to help the farmers find a lady.
Find their wife. And help the wives find the farmers.
Yes. It's mutual. Mm-hmm. This is beneficial for us all. We've learned that some farmers are very rich.
Oh.
So, okay. Well, Stephen McBee, is that his name?
Yeah.
He was the millionaire. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's centered not around a single person. There's like, I think there's four farmers.
Yeah.
So, okay. I hope that there's some fun twists there, because that was my favorite thing about Joe Millionaire, was that there was like the two guys and it was like they're both dating all the girls. And so it's like, oh, like there are they like both going after the same girl? I always love that little dynamic. So maybe we will get, you know, farmers wanting to pick the same crop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they both grow the same type of vegetable.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're competing at the farmer's market.
Farmer's market, right. Okay.
Anyway.
So that's Farmer Wants a Wife. Keep an eye out for that coming up in a couple of weeks to the Fox Network. Okay. Jenny, anything else about Special Forces, World's Toughest Test?
No, I will just say I'm very proud that I finally know who is who of the Special Forces staff.
Yeah, you're doing great
with
that. I
finally learned everyone's names. I remember them all. It seems like Foxy is the guy that does like the narration, not the actual narrator. I want to know who that is. The guy who's very serious, where he's like, "It's day five, and we're down to 8 people, and number 13, Dwight Howard was..." Anyway, like, it's not that guy, but like Foxy, he's like constantly like giving us these messages about like what this training is about. So I feel like I'm really getting to know them.
That same announcer will stay on for Farmer Wants a Wife.
I would love that. That would be a fun dynamic. I want them to take
all
that just as serious.
Have spotted the wives.
That would tickle me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's really how you jazz up that show.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't get him, Martin the Butler, I would love them to bring him in. He doesn't have to
be a farmer costume, like a straw hat.
He dressed up in all sorts of things. He wore crossing guard vests and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
He's a versatile man. Get him. He's a farmhand now. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So
anyway, that's it. I'm having a great time.
All right, Jenny. I know this is your, one podcasting adventure these days. Anything else fun going on for you?
Not really. January is kind of it's a kind of meh month, you know? It's kind of like, I live in Ontario and winter is rough. So like we're about to get dumped with snow tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, so there's not really like a lot to do. I'm just kind of waiting for the spring and the riches that it brings.
Like the farmers.
The farmers, the crops, wives. I'm vibing. That's it.
Okay.
I occasionally will pop up on Puya's stream to play Goose Duck on Sundays. That's pretty much my one other thing that I do besides working for a living with my Starbucks.
Okay.
Legal requirement.
We had a fun catch up with my friend Jenna Maraska on the latest Talking with T-Bird. We dropped that on Monday. And then over on Nothing But Netflix this week, we checked out That 90s Show.
I am going to tune in for that. I think because I am very curious about this whole... I don't know how I feel about remakes, but the fact that they, Kitty and Red are intact.
Yeah. Were you a fan of That 70s Show?
That is one of the sitcoms. I don't think I watched it till the end, but like I watched like several seasons of that 70s mm-hmm. Show. So I know the whole lore.
Yeah.
For sure. And I am a 90s kid.
Yeah.
So, and not a 90s kid that was born in the 90s, like a kid that
I got it.
Like was, yeah. You know, I know this is a debate, mm-hmm. but yeah. I'm a true 90s kid.
Okay. Well, we had a lot of fun there with Dame Lindsay Wilson on the latest episode.
Another great Canadian
over on the latest episode of Nothing But Netflix. So thank you so much for joining us to talk Special Forces, World's Toughest Test. I'll be back again after a next episode. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.